Last week, we explained the terminology that is used today. Instead of when I was growing up and somebody offered you something and you didn't want it, you would say, no, thank you. Today, people use the expression, I'm good. So we explained that last week. This week, I wanted to explain another expression where if you do a favor to someone, the person answers, thank you, I owe you one. And whereas the expression, I'm good, I didn't think was so according to Das Torah, but this expression, thank you, I owe you one, as we're going to see from Rav Huttner Zitzel in Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. Chanukah is approaching soon. We're already in Chodesh Kislev, Maimer Beis. So that, I believe, is very much in tune with Das Torah. And hopefully we'll speak a little bit also about last week's Parsha, Parsha's Toldos. So Rav Huttner begins in Perek Aleph of Maimer Beis, in Pachad Yitzchak of Chanukah, he points out that there's a difference between the Alanisim that we say on Chanukah and the Alanisim that we say on Purim. The Alanisim on Purim goes through the story of Mordechai and Esther, and it ends off with the death of Haman being hung on the tree. V'tolu oisoiv esbonov alo eitz. That's the end of the Alanisim. Whereas the Alanisim of Chanukah, it seems similar. We go through the story, but at the end, we see it's different than the one by Purim, because the end goes as follows. They came into the Beis HaMikdash, the Chashmonoim, after they defeated the Yevonim, v'tiaru es Mikdashecha, they made the Mikdash Tohar, they lit Neiros in the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash. And then it ends off, the Kavu Shmoinas Yimei Chanukah Elu, Lahoidois Ulahalel Lashimcha Gadol. They made the 8 days of Chanukah to give praise to your great name. If it would be the same as Purim, it should have ended off v'tiaru es mikdashecha v'idliku neiros b'chatzris kachecha. That would be the end of the story. Here, by Chanukah, we see there's an additional point. And the additional point is that they established these 8 days to give praise to your great name. So why is it that by Purim, all we do is say, relate the story of Purim, we end off that we hung Haman on the tree, and it doesn't say over there, and they established that Purim should be a day of giving praise to Hashem. And whereas by Chanukah, after going through the whole story, we add this extra phrase of L'hoidos U'l'halal L'shimcha Gadol. And Rav Huttner points out that, in fact, we don't find anywhere else that there's a special stress on the fact that we are giving Hoidah thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hallel, we find many places where we give praise, we say the Hallel on all the Yom Tovim. But the inyan of Hoidah, to give thanks to Hashem, that we find specifically only by Chanukah. What is that all about? So Rav Huttner says the following, that everything that pertains to Klal Yisrael already was the source of it, the shoresh, the root of it, is already found by the Avos. As we know, we've spoken in other shiurim of the Ramban tells us from Chazal, Maisa Avos Simen LaBonim. What happened to our forefathers, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's a simen that what is going to happen. If we really understood clearly all the stories that are written in great detail in Parshas Bereishis, in Sefer Bereishis, that happened to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we could see clearly the destiny of the Jewish people. Maisa Avos Simen LaBonim. Now, Chazal say that what story that happened to the Avos is a simen, a sign of Gzeira Shmad that is going to happen to the children. there are going to be periods in history where the Gentiles will try to convert us. We know it happened by the Christians and the Crusades, other periods in history. Where is the first story by the Ovis that is going to be a sign that this will happen to the children? And the answer is from the story in of Yaavek Ish Imoy of Yaakov Avinu. This is a story that we're going to have in a further parshan Bereishis, but this is the story of Yaakov wrestling and wrangling with the Tsar Shel Esav, the prince of Esav, which is a malach, a spiritual entity, the Tsar Shel Esav. So the question which we have to understand is, Yaakov fought with many, and Avram Yitzchak Yaakov also had many fights. Why is it specifically this story of the fight with the Tsar Shel Esav, that this is the story that's going to be the siman, the sign that in future generations, your children, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, your descendants will also go through this struggle? What if Yaakov fought with Lavan, he fought with Esav himself. And you're telling me, no, that is not a sign that the children will go through shmud, that the Goyim will try to convert us. Which story is it? The Tsar Shel Esav. When the Malach from heaven of Esav came down to fight with Yaakov, that's the one that's going to be a siman. Why that? Why not the others? So Rav Huttner answers this question by bringing from the Sefer Igeres HaMusar that there are two types of battles that a person himself goes through and that the nation of Klal Yisrael goes through. One battle is Bein Hamidos V'Hadas, between your emotions, your character traits, and your Seichel. That's one fight. And the other fight is between Kedusha and Tuma, between holiness and unholiness. So he says the first fight is something that we find in nature. In other words, unfortunately, I understand some people are not at the shir today because they're going to Weight Watchers. Two people are going to Weight Watchers. Now, Weight Watchers is this struggle between your midos and your das. Your das, your knowledge. You know that in the long term future, it's not good for you to eat that donut that is served here in the OU on Rosh Chodesh. It's not healthy for you. But in the short term, it's very it's good tasting. So that's what he says. The hamidos nimshachos achrei ha'orav l'shatoi. What is sweet for the moment, but a moment on your lip and forever on your hip, it says, right? So in the long-term strategy, if you think about it, if we wouldn't go after our midos that's interested in what's sweet for the moment, is this healthy for me? It's poison for me. It's I'm going to look fat. I'm going to look ugly. I'm going to feel miserable. But if I wouldn't eat it, it would be great in the long term. But in the short term, the midos, that's the fight. The seichel, the long term, or the midos that want the immediate pleasure for the moment. That's one kind of fight. A second fight is Kedusha and Tuma. And this, Rav Huttner says, that's a war, Shalom Atzinu B'teva Dugmasa. We don't find in the regular nature such a fight. Because Teva, nature, doesn't have Kedusha and Tuma. Teva has the momentary pleasure versus the long term, the seichel telling you to look at the long term. That's something that every individual knows and experiences. That's in nature. Hashem put it in nature. But we don't find in nature holiness, kedusha, and tumah. So he says that not only are these two fights by an individual, but by Klal Yisrael. In Klolius of Klal Yisrael, we have these two fights as well. Because there are sometimes when the Goyim fight us and they try to seduce us with the momentary pleasure. That's one fight that the Goyim, instead of us thinking about long-term effects, They're going to think of a people came to America. He doesn't give this Moshe Rav Huttner, but I'm just thinking of it as we're speaking. People came to America, so they sacrificed their own kedush, their own future as a God-fearing Jew, and their children. They sacrificed for the immediate, for Parnassa. The person needed a Parnassa for this week, for this Shabbos. If he doesn't work on Shabbos, he gets fired from his job. So it was a question, do I keep Shabbos and sanctify my home and my children, or am I expedient? If I keep Shabbos, I don't have the job next week. The boss wants me to come in on Shabbos. So that was the struggle, the immediate versus the long term. And most people sacrificed the long term, and their children went down the drain. They married, ultimately they married the shikses. They married out of the faith. So that's the struggle that we have, that the nations put to us of immediate pleasure. But then there's also items of Kedusha versus Tumah, where the nations come to destroy our holiness. Gezeirah Shmad, when the Goyim have a law that they want us to convert, so that's not the struggle of Midos versus long-term, the immediate pleasure versus long-term, but rather this is a fight, a struggle between holiness and not holiness. Now, who is the example of this struggle of holiness versus non-holiness? That is the man who came to struggle with Yaakov. Who was that man? He was Sar Shel Esav. He was a spiritual entity, the Malach that came from heaven from Esav. So in other words, says Rav Huttner, Kolomar, Melchama She'ein Limtzoi D'Gmasa B'Teva. This is a fight, not with Lovin, not with Esav himself, but with the Sar Shel Esav. Because this is a spiritual war that we don't find, as we said before, the spiritual war of Kedusha versus Tumah is something that you don't find in nature. As opposed to the Midos versus long-term, that's something you find in nature. So who is the example for that? That's the Sar Shel Esav, who doesn't come from nature. He comes from being a Malach, which is above nature. The only question which I have on this Pshat of Rav Huttner, which I don't understand, and if anybody who's listening on this program on the web has an answer, I would appreciate if they let me know at grossman@ou.org. The question is, who Rav Huttner himself says that who is waging this war of Kedusha versus Tumah? The nations of the world. Now the nations of the world are already Teva. Rav Huttner says they're fighting us two ways. One way, which is similar to an individual. One way is the Midos versus the momentary pleasure versus the long-term Seichel. That's one fight, where the Goyim try to seduce us to go after the momentary pleasure. The second fight that the Goyim are trying to fight against us is Shmad, conversion, which is Kedusha versus Tumah. So he gives an example of the Sar Shel Esav. The Sar Shel Esav is a very good example that it's not in Teva. It's not nature. It's above nature. That's a Malach, above nature. But who's waging that war down here on earth? It's being waged by the Christians, for example, in the Crusades. Well, there you have the Christians doing it in Teva. So I don't understand. It's obviously something that Lefi Ani is daiti, because my mind doesn't understand it. But Rav Huttner on the one end says, Shaloi Matzinu B'Teva D'Gmasa, and on the other hand he says, K'moi Ken Yeshla L'Knes Yisrael Gamaniyos V'Ikuv V'Mitzad Umas Ha'Olam Al Yedei Yisoyeris Koiches Ruchaniyim Shal Tumah Levatel Es Kedushasa. So that I don't understand, because that's being done by nations, and nations are Teva. So that point, if anybody can clarify it for me, I would appreciate it. But anyway, let us go on. So Rav Huttner says that the example for this fight of Kedusha versus Tumah was the Sar Shel Esav, because he is a spiritual being. And he says, Rav Huttner, that not only is the Sar Shal Esav a simon, what's going to happen in the future, that there will be nations such as the Yevonim who wanted us to convert and take over their ideology, but also there will be ones who will not convert. And that's, he says, when the struggle ensued between the Sar Shal Esav and Yaakov, it says, Vayar ki lo yachloi. The Sar Shal Esav saw that he can't win over Yaakov. So Chazal say that, Noga b'tzadikim sha'asidim lotzis mimenu b'doi rishol shmat. He reached the tzadikim that would come out of Yaakov in the generation of Shmad, and he wasn't able to overcome Yaakov. Because even when he's successful in a generation of Shmad, of conversion, there will be those tzadikim like the Chashmonaim who Yavin was not able to corrupt. So again, the fight of Yaakov versus the Sar Shal Esav would be not only in the fight itself, but even in the survival of the tzaddikim who the Sar Shal Esav would not be able to corrupt, as happened in the time of the Yevonim, that the Yevonim were not able to, even though there were misyavnim, there were many Jews who unfortunately converted and went over to a mode of life that the Yevonim were trying to spread. But there were those who stood up, and like the Chashmonaim, and those tzaddikim were not able to be corrupted. Now, let us go a step further. So Rav Huttner says that just as when did Yaakov get his name Yisrael? That was after the Malach saw that he can't defeat Yaakov. So he said, Lo Ya'omer Oy Shimcha Yaakov Ki Yisrael. He gave the name Yisrael. So too, we as a nation, when are we validated to be Am Yisrael? When we are successful in standing up to the pressures of the Sar Shal Esav, of the Yevonim who are trying to corrupt us. When we are Omed bin Nisoyon, then we are able to have the name of Yisrael, just like our forefather Yaakov was able to get the name of Yisrael. Rav Huttner says that we have two brachas. One is Asher Brach Arbonu Mikol Amim, and one is V'nasan lanu es Torasoi. Hashem chose us to be the chosen people, and he gave us the Torah. So the Vilner Gaon says that this happened 4 days apart. On the sixth day of Sivan, we were given the Torah. But on the second day of Sivan, that's when Hashem told us, Va'atem tiuli mamlechas koyanim v'goy kodesh. I'm choosing you to be a holy people. When did he give us the Torah? That was 4 days later on Vav Sivan. So now we have, in Rav Huttner points out that in Mesiras Nefesh, when you have to give up your life, so normally you only give up your life for three Averis. Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Illicit relationships, murder, and serving idols. All other Averis in the Torah, eating pork, if a goy comes over with a gun and says, eat this pork or you're going to be killed, you're allowed to eat the pork. But for these three Averis, you have to give up your life. However, if it's a Shas Hashmad, if it's a time like in the time of the Yevonim, which, by the way, the Yevonim was the first time in history of the Jewish people that we as a nation were faced with an enemy that tried to convert us. So in a time of Shmad, a person has to give up his life, the Gemara says, afil on Ikrisa de Masana. What is Ikrisa de Masana? If all the Jews wear black shoelaces, and the Goyim come along and say, we want you to wear red shoelaces, so for that you have to give up your life. Because, so Rav Huttner explains, that just because it's a time of Shmad doesn't make the Avera any worse than normal. What's the reason that you have to give up your life for any smallest thing in the time of Shmad, which you normally wouldn't? So he explains, because that's the difference between Purim and Chanukah. Purim, we know that the Jews, kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. On Purim, the Jews re-accepted the Torah, which they had accepted at Har Sinai, by force. Hashem took a mountain, put it over their head, said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, your end is here. So we were forced to take the Torah. Yes, the Tosfos says we took Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, willingly. But Torah Shebaalpeh, which is much more difficult, that Hashem had to force us to take. But when it came Purim, we accepted it willingly. So Purim, our Mesiras Nefesh on Purim, was for the Torah that was given on the sixth day of Sivan, on Kabbalah Satorah. On Chanukah, our Mesiras Nefesh of the Yevonim, that they faced a much greater ferocious enemy, much more powerful, Rabim Biyad Miatim. The Mesiras Nefesh was on being chosen as the Jewish people. On Purim, our Mesiras Nefesh was on the Torah that was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Asher Nasan Lanu Es Torah, he gave us the Torah. On Chanukah, the Mesiras Nefesh was Asher Bachar Banu, Mikolo Amim. He chose us from all the nations. So in other words, that Mesiras Nefesh on Chanukah is for being chosen as the Jewish people. That precedes the giving of the Torah. And for that, if you're being forced on any small little Avera, in a time of Shmud, where they want to convert you, there, if you would do that Avera, you're neglecting being chosen, you're giving up, not the Torah itself, which you're going to get on 4 days later on Vav 7. There you're giving up your whole destiny of being a Jew. You're giving up being chosen as a Jewish person, as being part of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people, that was chosen from all the other nations in the world. So there you have to give, it's a much more important decision, will I do this or not? On any little thing, you have to be ready to give up your life. Because if you don't, that means you're saying, I'm not chosen to be a special from the rest of the world. So, and the Chazal say that anything, davar shemasru nafshim alav miskayim biyadam, whatever you sacrifice yourself for, that remains. If you're not ready to sacrifice yourself for that item, it won't stand. So, for example, every Jew gets a bris milah. Even non-frum Jews get a bris milah. Why? Because we have sacrificed ourselves through the ages for the mitzvah of bris milah. That's why it has a kiyum. That mitzvah has a kiyum even till bizman hazeh. So Rav Huttner says, how are we zocha to, as a people, to receive the name of Yisrael? We were zocha because we were moser nefesh for being chosen as part of the Jewish people, and that keeps us going. That gives us our kiyum forever. So now we have it exactly. Just like the fight between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav was the prototype of a fight of Mesiras Nefesh for the identity of the Jewish people, just like Yaakov, the Malach couldn't defeat Yaakov, so too, our fight of Shmud, of conversion, the prototype is the fight between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. That's the Maisa of a similar bottom. And just like Yaakov got the name Yisrael after he defeated the Sar Shel Esav saw that he's not able to destroy Yaakov, so too, we get our nation of Yisrael validated, that we are the Jewish people, we're the Aman Nifcher, when we win a fight against the enemy that tries to make us do Tumah, and we do the opposite, we do Kedusha. Okay, now, this is a little deep thought, but now Rav Huttner gives a simpler thought. And this thought is, that when we're trying to find again, our goal is to find why Chanukah, the Al HaNisim, is more than Purim. Purim is just what happened. The Alanisim that we thank Hashem, of course, it's in Moedim. All this, is, we say Alanisim in Moedim when we're thanking Hashem. But the Alanisim on Purim is the story. Haman wanted to kill us. The end was that Haman was hung up on the tree. End of Hoidah to Hashem. Hanukkah, we go further. We say the whole story of Matasyo and his children fighting the Yevanim and everything that happened. But we don't end that they came to the Chatzris Kachecha and they purified the Beis HaMikdash and they lit lights B'Chatzris Kachecha. That would be the end of the story. That would be comparable to Purim. No, we go further. We don't say that by Purim. Why do we add that extra phrase at the end? So Rav Hutner is going to explain why by Chanukah it's special that we have to give Hoidah thanks to Hashem. So he says that Hoidah, there are two words that come together in Hebrew that mean two different things. And these two words are related. One, Hoidah means I thank you. And the other word in Hebrew, in Yiddish, it's Duncan, a dunk, a thanks. The other word, Hoidah, is in Yiddish, Nachgeben, which means Hoidah is Baldin. I admit, I am admitting to you something. So that both things are called Hoidah. And Rav Hutner says there, these two ideas are related one to another. Because a person by tendency wants to be independent. When you thank someone for doing something for you, you're admitting that this time, although usually I like to be independent, I have to admit that this time I owe you one. That's how we started this year. People say, thank you, I owe you one. So thank you, that's hoidah, I'm thanking you. A dunk. But the thanks comes about because I admit that I owe you one. That this time I wasn't able to function independently. You did something for me for which I in turn owe you a debt of gratitude. And therefore I'm telling you, thank you, that I have to come on to you. As we said last week, it's not I'm good, like I don't need anything to do with you. But thank you, I'm admitting that I have to, that there's a you here in the world, and you this time did something for me, for which I admit that I owe you one, and that is why I'm in fact thanking you. He brings that one of the Chachmei Avoda used to say in Yiddish, and we'll translate it in English, Farhan mentioned, there are people, Vazingen dem boira oilam adudala, they sing to Hashem, a doodala. Doodala means you. Mizrach du, Mairiv du, Tzofen du, Dorim du. Wherever I go in the world, do. I recognize you, Hashem. Unfaran mentioned, there are other people, Vazingen sich an Ichala. His whole life song is Ichala. Mizrach ich, Mairiv ich, Tzofen ich. The whole world revolves around I, me. So what we said about thanks to an individual certainly goes to Hashem. That a person admits to Hashem that without you there's nothing. Wherever I go in the world, it's a doodala. Everything is due, is you. I owe it to you. And that's why I'm thanking. So he says, based on this, it's beautiful. And we are davening, if we think a kavana during davening will be much richer. In Moedim, if you look at Moedim, we twice say to Hashem in Moedim the words Hoidah. We start off and we say, Moedim anachnu loch, sha'atu Hashem alkeinu v'kev v'sein lovet. And then, tzur chayenu mogen yishenu, atu l'dor v'dor, noedel l'cha unesaper tilasecha. So we're saying like twice, what's this double? We said already Moedim, then we say again, noedel l'cha. And we go on, Al Chayenu Amsurim B'Yadecha, Val Nishmasein Abkudus Loch, Val Nisech Shechol Yom Imanu, etc., etc., Erev Avaykut Zoroyim. So Rav Hutner says, based on what we just said, it's beautiful. Before I get to Noide Lecha Al, he says, how do you know if you're thanking or you're admitting? Which both are called Hoidah. The answer, the key is, what comes after the word Moedim? Is it Sheh or is it Al? Moidim anachnu loch, like when I admit that I owe you $100. So Reuven admits shehu chayiv l'shimon, that he is chayiv l'shimon. When that's an admission, so that's what we start out. Hashem, before I thank you, I want to tell you, I admit that I owe you one. Moidim anachnu loch she'ato, hu Hashem alekenu alekenu v'sein lovet. I have to admit that you're the Hashem, that you're always here, and you're the tzur chayenu magen yishenu. Now that I admitted all that, now, noide lecho, nisapriti lesecho, al chayenu amsur bidecho, v'al nishmesein apkudosoch, v'al nisech shbchol yoimana, v'al nifloy sech tovesecho. Now I, al is avur. Now that I admitted sheh, I admitted that I owe it to you, that there's nothing in my life without you. Now I can go ahead and thank you for A, B, C, D. I can thank you, al chayen amsur miyadecho, al nishmaseh abkudosach, etc. So, he says you find this by Leah. When Leah had Yehuda, she called him Yehuda. Why? She thanked Hashem. So Rashi says, shenatalti yaisim b'chalki. I took more. I am one of the four wives of Yaakov. So I should have only had three children. I now had my fourth child, so I'm admitting sheh. I think Rav Futner means this, because that's the Lashon Rashi. Sheh natalti yaisu mechalki. Sheh always means I'm admitting. So I'm admitting I'm not oblivious to the fact. Many people get oblivious to things. They don't want to admit. No, I'm admitting. That I realize if this is my fourth child, I'm already one more than is coming to me. It's coming to me only three. Since I'm admitting that I've taken more than deserving, so now I'm Hoida. Now I call him Yehuda. The whole essence of a Jewish person is that he's a Jew, a Yehudi. A Yehudi means that I thank. Thank means that I admit. So now that we understand all this, we can understand why is Chanukah that one yontiv of the whole calendar, the Jewish calendar, where we give our thanks to our, we don't find this by any other yontiv. Hallel, yes, but the word hoidah, to thank, we find only by Chanukah. Why? Because since, as we explained, that the Maisa of Esim Labanim, that we have an arch enemy who tries to corrupt us by Tumah, not just midos ros that looks for the temporary pleasure versus the long-term benefit. That's one struggle we have with the goyim. But there's another struggle, which is kedusha versus tumah. And just like Yaakov had that struggle with something that you don't find in teva, which was the sar shel Esav, so we Klal Yisrael have this supernatural fight struggle between tumah and kedusha. So when are we able to validate our name of Yisrael? Only like Yaakov. When did he get the name Yisrael? When he defeated the Sar Shel Esav. So when the first struggle of conversion, of Tumah trying to corrupt Kedusha, was by the Yevonim. So when were we able to validate our Shem Yisrael? Smaisa of a similar button. When we defeated. When the Sar Shel Esav said to Yaakov, I see, he saw that he can't defeat Yaakov. Then he gave him the name Yisrael. So when do we get our name Yisrael? When we defeat our enemy who's trying to corrupt us in Kedusha. So at that point, it says, V'kan hoiduloy ala brachas. The Sar Shel Esav at that point said, okay, now you get the brachas. I admit they belong to you. Until now, Esav, with his Tsar in heaven, were fighting Yaakov. You stole the brachas away from us. Kan hoiduloy ala brachas. So what does Klal Yisrael do? What is thanks always involves admission. So here, Rav Huttner says, Yaakov experienced the admission of Tsar Shel Esav. So when we do what we're supposed to as a Jewish people, and we fight off the powers that are trying to corrupt us and convert us, the powers of Tumah, which are trying to destroy the powers of Kedusha in the world, when we defeat those powers, then we force our adversary to admit that we deserve to be the Amon Nefchar. But we have to do our part. We have to defeat them. So when Yaakov defeated the Sar Shel Esav, the Sar Shel Esav had to admit that you get the brachas. So we take, what does Klal Yisrael do? We take that admission and we channel it to our thanks to Hashem, which also entails that we have to admit also to Hashem. We admit to you, Hashem, that without you, we wouldn't have been able to defeat the Sar Shel Esav, the powers of Tumah in the world. So now, once we defeated Esav, the Sar Shel Esav, and we forced them to admit the brachas, what do we as a nation do? We take that admission, and we likewise admit that without you, Hashem, we couldn't do it, and therefore we give thanks to you. So it's particularly Chanukah, which is the yontiv that causes Esav to admit that we deserve the brachas, that we're fulfilling our destiny as the Am Kadosh. We take that and we further channel it to the source, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Chanukah is the yontiv, because that's the yontiv which forced Esav to admit the brachas. I just...
As opposed to Purim, which is physical.
Yeah, Purim, he says the Masir... Yeah, right. Purim, he says, was the struggle over the Torah itself. But here, it's the struggle over being the Am HaNivchar. So I just want to add one more thought that I heard a very beautiful pshat from Rabbi Rakowski, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Or Sameach in Muncie. When Yitzchak was giving a bracha to Yaakov in last week's parsha, he said, "Hevi gvir l'achecha." He thought he's speaking to Esav, right? So the Sepurna points out that later in the parsha, at the end, when Yitzchak knew that it was Yaakov who he had given the brachas to, and he's about to send them to Padan Aram to get a shidduch, where eventually he married Rachel and Leah. So it says, "Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov, vayivorcha Esav." And now he knew he was giving a bracha to Yaakov. He says, "Don't take Isham Abnois Knan. Go to Padan Aram. Take a wife from there." And v'kel shani yivorcha Esav, v'yafrcha v'yarbecha v'yisul kalamim, v'yitain l'cho es birkas Avram. L'chol is aracha itach, l'rishtecha is eretz megurecha shenosan elekim lavram. So now, when he knew he's speaking to Yaakov, he told him, "I'm giving you birchas Avram, and I'm giving you eretz Yisrael." When he thought Yaakov was Esav, he didn't mention anything about birchas Avram. He didn't mention anything about eretz Yisrael. So in other words, the Sepurna says, and we'll understand this point, I think, better with what Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch says. Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch says that there was a fight between Rivka and Yitzchak in ideology. Yitzchak knew Yaakov is a bigger tzaddik than Esav. But Yitzchak thought that the best thing for the world, if there'll be a partnership between Yaakov and Esav. Esav will be the total Gashmi, and Yaakov will be the total Ruchni. And that's why the Sepurna says here also, "Ki choshev sheyia toiv li Yaakov, shetaspik loy nachlas eretz Yisrael, u sheyichya boim eze shibud, kidei shelo yatrid nafshe bin yoni gashmis vahavli anifsodim." Yitzchak thought, this was Yitzchak's ideological dispute with his wife, with Rivka, he thought that I'm going to give the richness to Esav. What's Yaakov going to give? Yaakov's going to get what I want, what I give him at the end of the parsha when I know it's Yaakov. I give him Eretz Yisrael, but I'm giving the richness to Esav. And why? Because Yaakov is better that he's not rich. Because that's right. Like a type of Yisachar Zvulun. It's better if Yaakov is not rich, because if he's rich, he'll get too involved in Gashmias, and that will take him away. That will take him away from his purpose. So that's what he says. Lachain b'zois abracha shechoshav levorachas Esav. He thinks he's speaking to Esav. Loi hisker birchas Avram v'loi eretz Yisrael. K'moy shehisker liYaakov kishi kiroi ubarchoi. Like we find at the end of the parsha, when he knew he was speaking to Yaakov, then he gave him eretz Yisrael. So in other words, in Yitzchak's mind, I'm going to give heavy gvir lachecha. You Esav, I think I'm speaking to Esav. You should have all the richness. Your brother, I'll give a measly little place in Eretz Yisrael out of the billions of all the land that's around that I'm giving to the Goyim. You should have a little piece of Gashmius. Eke out a living. You learn in the Kailel. That's going to be a better spiritual life for you. Be Meshubah to Esav. That will keep you in check that you're not going to get involved too much in Gashmius, and it'll take you away. That was the philosophy of Esav, of Yitzhak, rather. Rivka understood that if you have Gashmius alone without Ruchnius, then that's a disaster. That you can't be an Ovid Hashem at all in that way. And the only one who can channel Gashmius and make it the way it's supposed to is the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik knows how to elevate, to have both together, to have the Gashmius and elevate into Ruchnius. So Rav Rakowski said a beautiful pshat. We mentioned that Chanukah is where the Sar Shal Esav admits to Yaakov, Mekan Hoide Loyal Abrachas. Right before he struggled with Yaakov, it says Yaakov went back, he forgot some Pachim Tanim. He forgot a few jugs worth a few pennies. Chazal say, and he endangered his life. He went all alone in the darkness at night to get a few pachim tanim. Leave it alone. It's worth a few cents. No, mikanshech chavivim letzadikim memoinam yoyser megufam. What's the pshat in Chazal? The pshat is because they value money means they know it's all the purpose to be an Ovid Hashem. It's all used for ruchnius. Money is all used for ruchnius. Like Rav Schwab once said, and we say the Rambam says, "Poshtu yedeyem b'memoinam u'b'naseyem." The Yevonim put their hands on our money and our children. How can we equate our money and our children in the same thing? The answer is that our perception of money is for chinuch of our children. It's for holiness. It's not for Gashmias. So when Yaakov went back for the Pachim Tanim, then that was the moment where the Sar Shal Esav said, Mikan Hoideloy al Abrachas. Yitzhak thought, we'll split up the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. Esav will have the Gashmias and Yaakov will have the Ruchnias. Rivka understood better that it's only the Tzaddik who knows how to value money. If you have money alone without Ruchnias, it's a disaster. It's Bedavka Yaakov who will have the money and know how to elevate it for mitzvahs, for building yeshivas, for building Moses HaTorah, for chinuch purposes. It'll have a positive effect.
When he went back to
Mekan Ola Brachas, after he saw what Yaakov did with money, that only a person who thinks that money is a vehicle for Kedusha will go after Pachim Tanim. A person whose whole life is Gashmius, that's worth a few pennies. What do I need the few pennies? I'm going to spend my Moishe Nefesh to get a few pennies because he's not using Gashmius for the right purpose. So Mimele was Mekan Hoidele Ola Brachas. It was when Yaakov went back and Esav Sarge saw how he treats money properly. Rivka was correct. That's the only way to use Gashmius by elevating it to Ruchnius. That's when he was Moed Ala Brachas. So Yitzhak himself thought that I'm going to give Yaakov a little piece of Eretz Yisrael. He'll be Meshubat his brother. His brother will be the Gvir. I'll split the Gashmius from the Ruchnius. And Lamaisa Rivka was correct. And then when Yaakov did what he did with the Pachim, then it was the moment where the Sar Shal Esav said, I admit, you know how to use Gashmius properly. You were talking the right one that Yitzhak should, by mistake, give you the brachas that he intended for Esav, wound up that you're the Gvir also, because you're going to know how to use the Gashmius properly.
Very nice. Rabbi Goffin, I just realized it's very